16.
Ralph and Holly ran up the spur road, bent double, heads tucked. At the top of the first hill, they stopped to catch their breath. Below and to the left, they could see the circle of decaying tourist cabins. To the right was a long building, probably storage for equipment and supplies back when the Marysville hole had been a going concern. A truck was parked beside it. Ralph looked at it, looked away, then snapped back. Oh, my Christ. What? What? No wonder he knew me. That's Jack Hoskins' truck.
Hoskins? The other detective from Flint City?
Yes, him.
Why would he?
Then she shook her head hard enough to make her bangs fly.
It doesn't matter. He stopped shooting, and that means he's probably coming. We need to go.
Maybe Yoon hit him, Ralph said, and when she gave him a disbelieving look, yeah, okay. They hurried past the equipment building. There was another path on the far side leading up the backside of the knoll. I go first, Ralph said. I'm the one with the gun.
Holly didn't argue.
They trotted up the incline, the narrow path twisting and turning. Loose scree slid and grated under their shoes, threatening to spill them. 2 or 3 minutes into the climb, Ralph began to hear the clatter and bounce of rocks somewhere higher up. Hoskins was indeed coming to meet them. They rounded an outcropping, Ralph with his Glock leveled, Holly behind him and on his right. The next stretch of the path ran straight for 50 feet or so. The sound of Hoskins' descent was louder now, but the maze of rocks made it impossible to tell just how close he was.
Where's the goddamn spur path that goes to the back entrance? Ralph asked.
He's getting closer. This is too much like playing chicken in that James Dean movie.
Yes, rebel without a cause.
I don't know,
but it can't be far.
If we run into him before we get off Main Street here, there's going to be shooting and ricochets. The minute you see him, I want you to drop.
She thumped him on the back. If we beat him to the path, there won't be any shooting, and I won't have to.
Go! Ralph ran up the straight stretch, telling himself he'd caught a second wind. It wasn't true, but it was good to stay positive. Holly was behind him and whapping him on the shoulder, either to hurry him along or to assure him that she was still there. They reached the next turning in the path. Ralph peered around it, expecting to look into the muzzle of Hoskins' rifle. He didn't see that, but he did see a wooden sign with Chief Ahiga's fading portrait on it. Come on, he said. Fast! They ran for the sign, and now Ralph could hear the oncoming shooter gasping for breath, almost sobbing for it. There was a rattle of stones and a cry of pain. It sounded like Hoskins had fallen down.
Good. Stay down.
But then the clattery, slip-sliding footsteps resumed. Very near. Closing in, Ralph grabbed Holly and pushed her onto the Ahiga path. Her small, pale face was running with sweat. Her lips were pressed tightly together, and her hands were buried in the pockets of her suit coat, which was now powdered with rock dust and splattered with blood. Ralph raised a finger to his lips. She nodded. He stepped behind the sign. The dry Texas heat had caused the boards to shrink a bit, and he was able to peer through one of the cracks. He saw Hoskins as he staggered into view. His first thought was that Yoon had gotten lucky and put a bullet in him after all, but that didn't explain Hoskins' split pants and grotesquely swollen right leg. No wonder he fell, Ralph thought. It was amazing that he'd gotten this far down the steep path on that leg. He still had the rifle he'd used to kill Gold and Pelly, but was using it as a cane, and his fingers were nowhere near the trigger. Ralph didn't know if he would be able to hit anything anyway, even at close range. Not the way his hands were trembling. His bloodshot eyes were deep in their sockets. Rock dust had turned his face into a kabuki mask, but where perspiration had cut trails through it, the skin was red, as if with a terrible rash. Ralph stepped out from behind the sign, Glock held in both hands.
Stop right there, Jack, and let go of the rifle.
Jack skidded and stumbled to a halt 30 feet away, but he continued to hold the rifle by the barrel. That wasn't okay, but Ralph could live with it. If Hoskins started to raise it, however, his life was going to end.
"You shouldn't be here," Jack said. "Like my old granddad used to say, was you born dumb, or did you just grow that way?"
"I have no appetite for your bullshit. You killed two men and wounded another one, shot them from ambush."
"They never should have come here," Jack said. "But since they did, they got what they deserved for messing in with what didn't concern them."
"And what would that be, Mr. Hoskins?" Holly asked. Hoskins' lips cracked and oozed tiny beads of blood when he smiled.
"Tat man, as I think you know, meddling bitch."
"Okay, now that you've got that out of your system," Ralph said, "put the rifle down. You've done enough damage with it. Just drop it. If you bend over, you'll fall on your face. Was it a snake that got you?"
"The snake was just a little extra. You need to leave, Ralph. Both of you need to leave, or else he poisons you like he poisoned me. A word to the wise."
Holly took a step closer to Jack. "How did he poison you?"
Ralph put a warning hand on her arm.
"Just touched me. Back of the neck. That was all it took."
He shook his head in tired wonder.
"How did that barn in Canning Township?"
His voice rose, trembling with outrage.
"Where you sent me?"
Rao shook his head. "It must have been the chief, Jack. I didn't know anything about it. I'm not going to tell you again to put the gun down. You're done with this." Jack considered, or seemed to. Then he lifted the rifle very slowly, going hand over hand down the barrel toward the trigger housing.
"I'm not going the way my mother did. No, sir, I am not. I'll shoot your friend there first, Ralph, then you, unless you stop me."
"Jack, don't. Last warning."
"Stick your warning up your—"
He was trying to point the gun at Holly. She didn't move. Ralph stepped in front of her and fired three times, the reports deafening in the tight space. One for Howie, one for Alec, one for Yoon. The distance was a trifle long for a pistol, but the Glock was a good gun, and he'd never had any trouble qualifying on the range. Jack Hoskins went down, and to Ralph, the expression on his dying face looked like relief.